Live from the toilet closet, it's the Geek Show. I mean, I assume you're watching it on YouTube on your phone while you're...
What?
What?
Oh, my.
I thought I had taken over Tony's brain there for a minute.
Wow.
Is that yes. Not where you guys watch your YouTubes?
In the water closet?
No, the toilet closet.
Toilet?
Water closet.
Start the show. Let's...
toilet closet.
Get that happened.
Where
is this a closet? Utah thing that I just don't understand?
No.
Okay.
I've lived here a good chunk of my life. I've never heard the word toilet closet.
That's a Tony thing, I guess.
It must be.
You have your bathroom, right? And the best ones have a special room just for the toilet, and it looks like a closet.
Oh, I see.
The toilet closet. All right. So you don't stink up the whole bathroom when you're dropping your deuceage.
There's a thing called a fan.
Well, yeah, but that's, I mean,
there's
apparently.
There's a thing called poopery.
Poopery?
Poopery.
Yeah.
That's spray it on, yeah.
No, you spray it around the bathroom, Tony.
Wait, no. I want to hear about this. No, you don't spray it on the poop. That's.
No?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Huh. Toilet talk.
He has a toilet closet. He's quad T to tell Tony.
Yeah, that's right. Get the toilet closet. Change your life.
Change
Just
your
like
life.
Just like a bidet.
Yep.
You know what else will change your life? Geek what? Show Arcade and Geek Show Help Desk.
Yes, they will.
That's right.
He's lived here a good chunk of his life. He's Woke Ash Jones. He's Lee George Cade, everyone.
Yardfarmer.co. And no, we can't fix your thing for 6 more months because we're damn busy.
All right. And of course, Rob is here as well. Hello, Robert.
Long live the Legion.
So how was your trip through time, Legionnaire?
It was a little rough, but Brainy programmed the time bubble pretty well, so it wasn't too bad once we got past the 23rd century.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great job, Brainy.
And our host.
Oh, Mr. Okay. Kerry Jackson.
Hi. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10, x96.com for now. All right. Let's begin. Rebecca Frost is Rebecca Frost is on assignment, so it's a sausage fest today.
I took her to the airport because I was driving Uber last night when the Uber ping came, and I drove her to the airport. She's headed to England to figure out this Kate Middleton thing once and for all.
She's going
to
get to the bottom of it? Yeah. It's already been resolved, though.
So much blueberries.
No, she doesn't believe any of that.
She's
actually in the toilet closet in the airplane right now, hammering out an article for...
The toilet closet.
Yeah.
The toilet closet.
Yeah. All right.
Watching YouTube.
Our first story,
and I wasn't going to bring it up because I thought it was just going to be at the Alamo Drafthouse, but I did some searching, and apparently it's going to be across the nation at various theaters. A 20-hour Star Wars marathon.
Oh, I super didn't get a picture for that.
It's all the Skywalker saga. It starts Friday evening, and
so they're playing all 8 movies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Starting May 3rd, Friday evening, and goes all the way through May 4th.
Wow.
Yeah. And I looked it up, and yeah, it's happening at a theater near us, and I couldn't buy any tickets. They wouldn't let me. But yeah, so that's the question is, would you go?
No.
That's too long. I can't do an 8-hour
No, I'd even sit down and watch a 20-hour Star Wars marathon in my home.
In your home you wouldn't?
Yeah, that's
because the thing. I've gotten to a point now where I actually like semi-despise fandom.
Yes.
Because it's so shitty and mean.
Yeah, I agree.
And I guess if they're in the theater, they're going to be there to enjoy the movies too.
Yeah. It means that they're there for the... Because it's in chronological order, which means they'll start with The Phantom Menace.
Okay, and then they'll end with The Last Jedi. That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay.
It's not going to be cheap, apparently. I couldn't find a price on ours, but I talked to somebody who said that they priced it. It's like $84.
Woof.
And there's no intermission. You have to decide. When you're in the
when you take your pee breaks, when you head to the toilet closet,
exactly.
So do you get the special edition or the way that we originally encountered them?
I think you get the special edition.
Special edition,
yeah.
Which means you get the rusted root Ewok scene.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I like it because you get to see all the people on Naboo celebrating and people on Coruscant celebrating the crowd surfing stormtrooper.
Yeah. I don't think he was crowd surfing. I think
he was crowd surfing.
I think he was in trouble. I think he was asking for help.
He was so relaxed. Like the way his arms and legs were flopping around. Like there
worries. He was relaxed. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
He hit some of that Coruscant spliff and he was good to go.
It's there if you want it. Enjoy.
I'm gonna get taken to task. It's Coruscant Kush.
That's it. Yeah. Thank you very much. All right. Okay. We've got trailers like you wouldn't believe. Okay. But before we get to the trailers, let's do some quick housekeeping. Of course, Lee George Cade, who's at what's that period of recovery you're in, you said? If it's not one thing, it's another.
If it's not one thing, it's the other.
Okay.
So, man.
There we go. There's the Venmo.
Kablam.
If you could send some cash to the Cade. He's coming up on $1 million worth of medical bills, and that's exciting.
Yeah, well, when his innards start going, they will know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm waiting to be able to roll up a rubber sleeve so I can show off my clear plastic bionics.
He's
I won't be as high tech as the show, but I'll be as high tech as the action figure.
As the action figure.
Awesome.
But Lee is getting stronger so he can go back under the knife again here in April? Soon, right?
I have a pre-meeting Monday. Okay. Yeah, I have the secondary meeting on April 10th, and it turns out I will have two more surgeries.
Two more?
Oh,
yeah, because a side effect of the major surgery in early November where they cut me open and said, breathe, internal organs, breathe. the stomach lining has weakened to the point where I have now developed an umbilical hernia. So I know how the sausage is made now.
Basically, Lee's insides are trying to kill him. When people ask me what's wrong with Lee, that's my answer for people.
What's wrong is 53 years of good living.
There you go.
That'll show you.
So yeah. Anything that you can do to help the Cade family.
And Carl is right. They are putting in the implant behind my head so you can look through my eye and see the...
Yeah. Nice. There you go.
Yeah.
So, click on that QR code and donate what you can. Every little bit helps. On all of our social medias as well. Geekshow.store is still up and running. Get your hoodies, get your hats, get your flags.
Limited edition fashion doll shirt, because it could be leaving anytime.
I swear, as soon as I find out who to call, it's gone. Geekshow.store is the site. And then don't forget our Patreon, geekshowgotthiscovered.com. You get all kinds of special stuff. You get the Space Show early. You get videos from me from the Time Closet. And you got some gaming stuff coming up with Robert and Lee on the way.
Tabletop.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a half-hour show, but then I had a whole bunch of people from a game store I used to go to get a hold of me. They're like, we want to do all kinds of stuff with Geek Show Tabletop. And I'm like...
Ooh.
Please. You're all so funny and charismatic. How could I possibly do anything with you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, they're good people. They're good people. I look forward to that.
Plus, you get to hear the most endearingly charming German accent talk about Warhammer. So.
Warhammer.
Yeah.
The Wehrmacht.
No.
And maybe if we're really lucky, I'll sing a Disney song to you in German.
Now is the time on Warhammer when we dance. All right.
See, that's a different kind of German.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. Lots of trailers, and the first two we're going to talk about, they made my week. I was having a terrible week until I saw these two trailers. This is it.
Look at that bastard.
Hoo-ah.
Ain't that pretty?
Oh, he's...
It's Venom. It's Venom Xenomorph.
Yeah. Alien Romulus.
Look like that.
The name of the movie is Alien Romulus. This is not to be confused with the TV series that is being put together by Noah Hawley. This is Fede Alvarez. Directing.
Oh, no.
Yes, exactly.
No, scary for Lee.
Because he knows that the first Alien movie is a horror film disguised as a sci-fi film.
It's a haunted house
movie.
Second
one.
Exactly.
It's the second one.
Second one is too. Yeah.
The second one, I remember Jordan, one of the megaplexes, did a midnight showing of Aliens early 2000s. And I'm like, great, love to see this in the theater because I never got a chance to.
Oh.
And I go, and then this family of like five comes in, like three kids. And I'm just kind of like, that's therapy waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
That movie is nothing more than a kid being chased by the boogeyman in a giant dark house.
Yeah.
That's
so the first one came out in 79. I was 9 years old.
Yes.
And my parents, who took me to see everything at the drive-in theater, thinking I was asleep in the back seat. I wasn't. Thanks, Marathon Man. I really enjoyed that torture scene.
Is it safe, Lee?
Yeah, is it safe? So my parents, though, it was really funny because I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to sit in the back seat. I had snuck read the novelization, and I was going to sit in the back seat and watch it through the seats. And they said, nope, we heard this is too scary for kids. And, yeah, I didn't get to see it until I was like 10.
Mm.
This scared one, the shit out of me.
This one is Fede Alvarez. He said he confirms that the project is not a standalone, but rather connects to the other films.
Okay.
He said, I love all those movies. I didn't want to admit or ignore any of them. This one takes place between the first Alien, 79, and Aliens in 86. Need I remind you, there's a 75-year stretch between those two films.
Oh, plenty of time for some stories.
And a whole other Ripley.
And a whole other Ripley, indeed.
Yeah.
But this is, it just looked beautiful. I think it's fascinating that Disney owns Alien. I just think that, I love that.
He's making them all princesses.
Yeah. The story focuses on a group of 20-something space colonizers and scavengers who have the misfortune of meeting the xenomorph inside a dilapidated space station. It is a very young cast.
He made facehuggers terrifying.
Yeah, right? In
they
that
are.
Trailer?
There's
well,
so
they are
many.
Terrifying, but they were never quite this manic.
There's so mm-hmm. many no. of them.
Yeah.
The original plan for this film was just to release it on a streaming service.
No.
But then not only did the movie company see it, but all the people behind it said, let's put this in theaters, for God's sake. Daniel Trachtenberg saw it. Ridley Scott saw it and said, let's put this in theaters. It's that good. So it'll be in theaters August 16th.
So these kids go off to a dilapidated space station for a kegger and get surprised.
Exactly.
All right.
So I might finally see a Fede Alvarez movie. I couldn't see his Evil Dead because they teased somebody slicing their tongue open with a straight razor. And I was like, nope, nope, nope.
It was good, though, Lee. It really
was. I don't care. Evil Dead Rise? I didn't sleep for a week.
I know, right? He was interviewed and he said this was his inspiration for the film. He said, there's a moment where you see a bunch of kids running and riding a big wheel around the corridors of this colony. And I thought, wow, what would it be like if those kids grew up in a colony that still needs another 50 years to terraform? So I remember thinking, if I ever tell a story in that world, that's the one that I want to tell, is these kids when they reach their early 20s. And he then said the studio shifted to theatrical at the start of principal photography. This, like, right when we started shooting it, the studio was like, fuck it, let's put it in theaters.
Okay.
So there you go.
So according to the Alien RPG source book, mm-hmm. The farther out you are from Earth, the less developed and the less effective the terraforming is, because the companies doing it are not as wealthy, and so they tend to just slap it together and send colonists out there, because you'll be fine, but the ones that are closer to Earth have more money, they're more spacious,
and it makes sense too from a time perspective, because the further out you go, the sooner you had to leave. So the technology would be older the further out you go.
Well, it would,
because
yes.
they've been traveling for longer.
And these are the kind of conversations that make me want to tell Carrie that we need to sit down and watch The Expanse.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Okay. All right.
Because it is literally space politics and the politics of poverty.
And you know I love space politics.
Oh, it's good.
I'm surprised you've not seen it.
I haven't had time. There's too many shows.
I've tried to get him to watch it too, and he just
and
says,
such good
"I'll get around
porn.
To it."
I will. I'll be able to binge it. You know, I mean,
Rosanante is like that ship would make you so happy in your heart, Gary.
Once the space show runs its course, I'll have plenty of time. So in a couple of years,
I was going to say 5 years from now.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's a 5-year mission. What? Wait, sure.
Hey, wait a minute.
The next trailer, and you know, I've been kind of down on Star Wars.
Have you?
And I think I'm with you, Lee. I think it's because of the fans. But
yep.
But this got me excited about Star Wars again.
Wookiee with a lightsaber? How would
I know?
I saw that and I was like, that's the picture I'm using.
There
yep.
you go.
It's also a Smith song.
So this
Wookiee
is
Wookiee with a saber, I know.
Let's see. Star Wars Next Live Action Disney Plus series, The Final Days of the High Republic Era. It's very ambitious. The series is going to bring the previously unexplored era to the small screen. The Acolyte, a story that will foretell the downfall of the Jedi Order from its highest highs and examine the rise of the dark side. They released their first trailer. You got your first look at it, and it was beautiful.
And we're going to watch it during the after show.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we are? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to watch a few of these trailers in the after party.
I loaded up about 9 trailers, Tony.
So, I watched all of them before we got in here because I was like, I better do my homework.
This is great. So join us on the after party. It's at geekshowgotthiscovered.com. Join up and join us for all the trailer watching party. The star of this show is Lee Jung-jae from Squid Game. She's a Jedi Master investigating a shockingly violent crime spree. The Acolyte will see the Jedi cross paths with a mysterious and deadly foe from the past, played by Amandla Stenberg, uncover the Jedi's most ancient enemies, sowing the seeds not just for its return, but the downfall of the Jedi Order and the Republic. There's
and
a
only,
lot of...
Only one character from the books is showing up on the show.
And that is,
her nickname's Vern, but she has she's green. She's got a lightsaber, turns into a laser whip.
I saw her in the trailer. That's right. Yeah. Okay, and that is Junisua Tamo, who is Chewbacca. He's playing Jedi Master Kel Naka. So Wookiee with a lightsaber, June 4th for the Acolyte.
I'm excited.
I don't know any of these characters, and I am very excited.
It's 200 years before. The Skywalker saga.
Nice. Yeah.
Those stories are actually pretty good. Like, I enjoyed the books quite a bit. I can't openly talk about it because people will be mean, and I just can't handle that.
Another teaser trailer that we got this week that had the internet on fire for a hot minute was Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
There he is.
He looks run down. Oof.
Seepy.
Well, he's been sitting in that waiting room all the time.
That'll do it.
With his head shrunken. Let's see. But after a death in the Dietz family, that's Daddy Dietz. He's not going to be in it. Their old pal Beetlejuice re-enters the picture, prompting a new chain of afterlife hijinks. Here's the official plot. After an unexpected family tragedy, 3 generations of the Dietz family return home to Winter River, still haunted by Beetlejuice. Lydia's life is turned upside down when her rebellious teenage daughter, Astrid, discovers the mysterious model of the town in the attic, and the portal to the afterlife is accidentally opened. With trouble brewing in both realms, it's only a matter of time until someone says Beetlejuice's name 3 times, and the mischievous demon returns.
I'm so ready.
Yep, September 6th. Jenna Ortega is Astrid.
Did you hear Michael Keaton had to go back because he never actually saw the movie?
He didn't?
What?
I've never watched it either.
It's a classic. It really is good.
I've seen bits and pieces of it when it would air on like Saturday afternoons when
it's
I was
got that,
little sometimes.
That wild stop motion animation that Burton used to do.
You know, there are a lot of people who use Back to the Future as a reference for the perfect movie script and movie, right?
Oh, it's this.
This one's in there.
Yeah.
This one's in that realm.
It's pretty tight.
It's a pretty tight script.
It's got so much great world building in it, you know, the whole afterlife situation.
The football team where they keep coming into the counselor. Coach, coach, I think something went wrong on that plane.
There's just so much. You know, the book for the recently deceased. I'd love to have a real copy of that would be great.
Oh, I think it's out there. And Brett, the cartoon was actually really good. That was I think it was Nelvana Animation in Canada.
Actually, I watched a few of those episodes. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. And for an adaptation, it was pretty good. Kind of like the Ghostbusters cartoon wasn't too bad either.
The real Ghostbusters.
Not the one based with Tracy the Gorilla.
Okay. Which
just making sure.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as a small child, the live action Ghostbusters with Tracy the Gorilla.
Yep.
I loved that.
I had eyes out only for the gorilla.
It had Larry Storch and the guy in the gorilla costume, and then, what's the other guy's name? Forrest?
It doesn't matter. Once you get to Larry F. Troop Storch, what does it matter?
Exactly. But it was live action, and it tricked you into learning.
What in the hell are you doing?
Ooh, okay. All right.
Looks like Batman. Ah,
let's move forward.
Why is Robert Pattinson on the screen? Oh, wait.
Wait a minute. Right? Wrong Batman.
Then the other thing that got me excited, actually, was this Penguin trailer.
Oh, this was my favorite one that I watched.
And I've not seen this one yet.
Oh, man.
It's so good, Rob. I'm telling you, it's so good.
Look at that.
It's
some of the best makeup, too.
You don't even recognize
Colin. I didn't even know that was Bullseye.
Yeah.
You don't even recognize him. Doesn't sound like him.
Oh.
And the trailer plays like if The Sopranos took place in Gotham.
Which it should have.
Yeah, exactly. But the whole trailer is a soliloquy. It's a speech that this character, the Penguin, is giving about being remembered. And
gave me chills.
It's really good. It's so, so good. They haven't.
I loved him in The Batman as a probably mm-hmm. god of him in that.
Mm-hmm.
So what blew me away is my grandfather lived in Chicago when he was a little kid, all through the Depression. And the way that man would talk about Chicago was the way Penguin was talking about this mobster.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, because my grandpa would talk about, oh, yeah, respect. It was all about respect back then. And nobody, mm-hmm. and he'd just go on these, and there was a party on every corner, and nobody was fat. Nobody disrespected their elders.
And nobody was fat?
Oh, yeah. Well, that whole generation, Tony, I don't know how many of the greatest generation you grew up around, extremely obsessed with body weight. Yeah. Like,
James Gunn on his social media gave his seal of approval to the trailer. He said, I'm very excited about this. Can't wait for you to see it. It won't be until October that you see it.
Birthday present. Woot.
Yeah.
Are you in October?
We're pretty close in October.
I read that wrong. A Batman Part 2 is October 2026. This will debut. It does not have a debut date, but it's sometime later in the year. So look for it. This fall. This fall. All right. Another trailer that we got this week. My God.
It's like there's stuff coming out or something.
Yeah.
It's the new Doctor Who trailer. We got a full-length Doctor Who trailer.
Oh, that's tiny. Zoom.
Bring that up.
Oh, that looks bad.
And it looked really interesting. If you're a Doctor Who fan, I don't know. You've got to be excited.
I haven't been a Doctor Who fan for a number of years, but this got me excited to watch Doctor Who again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, go back and watch the holiday specials, Tony.
Oh, they're
I did. I watched them already. They were really good.
They're phenomenal. Yeah. He's fantastic, and I'm sad that this companion's only going to be around for this season. But
let's see, Millie Gibson, Ruby Sunday is her name, but it's Kuti Gatwa, the 15th Doctor.
Shooty.
Thank you. He's a cutie, though.
Damn right he is. Mm-mm, that black don't crack.
Yeah. This season of Doctor Who follows the Doctor and Ruby Sunday through infinite adventures across time and space with the TARDIS from the Regency era in England to war-torn futures. The duo champion the forces of good while encountering incredible friends and dangerous foes. What I liked about the trailer was it looked like a lot of fun, and it was some great use of the David Bowie song Changes throughout, which I thought was very nice.
Rebecca and I have been talking about this Doctor a lot and what we're looking forward to, because it seems like after the Christmas specials, when they did the bi-generation, that Tennant was left with all of the baggage of all of the previous lifetimes, and that this Doctor actually has a chance of having fun. Not that like Smith's Doctor mm-hmm. and Eccleston's Doctor didn't, but it seems like he's free to be, you know, just to explore and adventure. And I am so looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed to find out that Moffat is coming back.
That's a better picture.
But he's coming back as a writer.
But that was the thing. He's coming back as a writer, as all the power in the universe.
Yeah. This season, there will be a Hitchcock-inspired episode written by Stephen Moffat.
Interesting.
And so there you go. And yeah, he'll be back as a writer.
The only Bowie song used to great effect this week in a trailer either, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
Yes.
That's right. Let's see. So it's May 10th, 7 p.m. Disney Plus worldwide.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Get out of here, Moffat. She's in the chat room. Disney Plus worldwide, unless you live in the UK, where you can catch it Saturday, May 11th at midnight on BBC iPlayer and BBC One. All right. So there's that. Let's see. Here's a... Yes. We got a nice, long, full-length trailer for Furiosa this week as well.
Oh, my God. I can't. I don't know if I can handle my butt being clenched for two more hours.
I know, right? It just looked so good. And Anna Taylor-Joy as the young version of Furiosa.
There's just that voiceover line. I can't remember the exact thing, but it's just like, when the shit hits the fan, Furiosa fought the world. Okay.
Immortan Joe shows up, and you get a lot of use of Hemsworth, Warlord Dementus.
Whatever the hell voice name. He's using.
I am super excited to see him go crazy, because in this second trailer, you see a bit of that super craziness.
We'll watch it in the after party, so yeah. Join us. But geekshowgotthiscovered.com. But there's a great, I can just describe it for you. A Roman chariot, right? He's standing in this Roman chariot, but instead of horses on the reins, he's got two motorcycles out in front of him pulling his chariot.
And a teddy bear strapped to his chest.
Yes.
So, Tony, did you ever see Bad Times at the El Royale?
Oh,
I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay, that's an unhinged Hemsworth.
Oh, okay. I will check that out.
And actually a phenomenal movie. It's a great crime caper.
Here, I got a picture of him on the chariot.
Oh, you do?
If it'll come up here.
Here's the synopsis for the film. There it is. Yeah.
There's the teddy bear.
Yep.
Synopsis is, as the world fell, young Furiosa is snatched from the green place of many mothers and falls into the hands of the great biker horde. Led by Warlord Dementus, sweeping through the wasteland, they come across the Citadel, presided over by Immortan Joe. While the two tyrants war for dominance, Furiosa must survive many trials as she puts together the means to find her way home. May 24th.
It's going to be wild, because they'll be able to dive into some of the lore. Like, Immortan Joe had two co-captains or brothers, potentially, that had Bullet Town and Gasoline Town. And it's like those were all around the Citadel, but you had to go to Bullet Town and barter for bullets. You had to go. It's wild stuff.
I think I'll bet Chris Hemsworth got most of the character from his fake teeth right here.
Yeah, and the nose.
And the nose.
And the big nose.
I remember seeing a little interview with John Turturro about O Brother, Where Art Thou? And he said the character he played in that movie, which his name escapes me right now, but he wasn't sure how to take the character's accent and things like that until he saw himself with the teeth in. Mm. And then he's like, okay, I know what to do here.
I got it. Another trailer we got this week is Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. Did anybody see Rebel Moon Part 1? Did you finish it? I got a half hour into it, and I stopped.
I had a good time with it.
Did you? Good.
I keep meaning to watch it. I just haven't done it yet.
It's a Zack Snyder movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks pretty?
Well, the world building's really good, and the costume design's really cool, and the spaceships are cool, and the story has been done a few times.
Yeah. Part two, it looks like it's nonstop action, if the trailer is leading me to believe anything. This second part looks like nonstop action, and there's lightsabers in it. I don't know how he gets away with that. But
they're not lightsabers.
It a laser sword.
It's an actual sword that has like an energy field around it.
Ah, okay.
And she's badass.
She's amazing. I love her. She is just amazing.
Yeah.
Most of this cast is really awesome.
And that's the hard part about it is it's like, okay, cool. We brought in Hawkman from the Flash Gordon 1980 movie somehow, even though they didn't. But you're watching it going, is that Hawkman? No, it's Cyborg, but what's going on? I don't.
Scargiver continues the epic saga of Korra and the surviving warriors as they prepare to sacrifice everything, fighting alongside the brave people of Velt to defend the once peaceful village. A newfound homeland for those who have lost their fight against the mother world. Anyway,
it reminded me, Carrie and Rob, you'll relate to this perhaps a little more than Tony, but remember sometimes when you'd be home on a Saturday afternoon in the early 80s and there just happened to be a really shitty sci-fi movie on HBO that you loved more than anything?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of Rebel Moon.
So April 19th is when the new one bows, part two. April 19th, so very soon. Another trailer, and I'm excited about this. Did you watch the first season of this, Lee? Interview with the Vampire?
Yes, we just watched it our second watch through.
Oh, good. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
What a fucking phenomenal television program.
Is it good?
It really
should
is.
Watch this?
Oh, it's amazing. It is. They fix Louis with just a few little tweaks.
Exactly.
Louis's not a good guy in the books. In yeah, it's amazing.
And here's the thing. The guy playing Lestat, damn, he's good, and I want him to be Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm just putting it out into the MCU there. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, they take everything that really wouldn't work with Interview with a Vampire now and fix it. Mm-hmm. And in a way that I think would have made Anne Rice really, really happy. And
I think so, yeah.
Production is phenomenal. And it's just like even the second viewing through was actually super rewarding because we were seeing things that we didn't see the first time through.
Maybe I need to do that too.
Do it. It's totally worth it.
Eight episodes? It's a short
eight
run.
Eight or nine episodes. But that trailer for the second season.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Here's the thing. The first season takes place way back when. The new season takes place in the year 2022. And the vampire,
time jump, huh?
The vampire Louis de Pointe du Lac recounts his life story to the journalist, Eric Bogosian, who's perfect for this role.
He's so good.
He is. Because I love it because he doesn't take any shit. You know,
and the guy they cast to play him in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
I thought they had just done the de-aging thing because it could be 1974 or 1978 Eric Bogosian. But it's not.
Picking up from the bloody events in New Orleans in 1940, when Louis and teen fledgling Claudia conspired to kill Lestat, Sam Reed.
So well for him.
Sam Reed's got to be Dr. Doom, I'm telling you. Louis tells of his adventure in Europe, a quest to discover old world vampires, and the Theater des Vampires in Paris with Claudia. It is in Paris that Louis first meets vampire Armand, played by Asad Zaban.
So good.
Their courtship and love affair will prove to have devastating consequences both in the past and the future. It just looks great. May 12th is when season 2 starts.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that takes me right back to don't do epic books for movies.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Danny DeLaVue.
Or Peter Jackson.
Well, but Peter Jackson had to make, you know, 900 hours of Lord of the Rings movies. This Interview with the Vampire, it's 8 or 9 hours. It takes its time. It tells a damned entertaining story.
Yeah. So you have plenty of time to watch season one and catch up. It's terrific.
It is just a warning for people who are not familiar with the background material who might be thinking, oh, I'm going to rush home and watch this. If you are disturbed by graphic sex, hetero or homosexual, mm-hmm. you will be disturbed by this.
It's very sexy.
It's very graphic. It's also extraordinarily violent. There are oceans of blood.
Yes.
How would you put it on a scale of 1 to Game of Thrones?
It's more excessive than Game of Thrones.
What?
Could be. Yeah. Could be. Yeah.
Holy moly.
At times. And there are other episodes where there's nothing at all and they're like going to balls.
Dang.
Yeah.
Is that a euphemism?
Balls.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, we got a trailer for House of the Dragon Season 2.
Two trailers.
Did I get one for that?
A green and a black.
Yes. And that's June 16th is when that starts up again. Dueling trailers for the second season. We see rapidly fraying bonds between the two factions in the ruling House Targaryen, one led by Rhaenyra.
Who now?
Emma D'Arcy and Daemon Matt Smith Targaryen. The other by Dowager Queen Alicent Hightower, played by Olivia Cook, and her sons in the wake of the passing of King Viserys.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I saw Dowager Queen open for Crimson King Crimson.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the early 70s. I haven't finished the first season. Should I go back?
I didn't start it, so I'm not the guy to ask.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine doesn't really quite do it for me.
Well,
I'm not the right person to ask, having watched no Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, there's some good Game of Thrones, but
there
then
is.
It's also kind of like reading Dresden Files, where you're like, does every woman have to be obsessed with this guy?
Well, he is Harry Dresden, so yes.
Yeah, but when you're watching Game of Thrones, you're like, whoa, this is so very 2011.
But the best trailer we got this week, and this is the last one, Marvel 1943.
Oh, my God. Buddy.
Rise of Hydra.
Yeah.
Now, this is a trailer for a video game.
Yep. See, and I didn't know that it was for a video game until it got a little bit more into the trailer for various reasons.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Captain America and Black Panther share the screen in the Marvel Universe before, but not like this. They are both on the same mission in Nazi-occupied Paris, and you can play as each one of them. You can also play as Gabriel Jones.
Yes!
And you can play as Nanali, a Wakandan spy embedded in occupied Paris, right there.
Okay, so can I just go off here and say, thank you, Marvel and Skydance, for giving us other black characters that are not the Black Panther or Shuri or Photon or Nick
Wait,
Fury.
There's more than three black people?
There's four. Well, now there's five because you get Gabe Jones.
Now there's five.
But I mean, Gabe Jones has been such a staple in the Howling Commandos and S.H.I.E.L.D.
for years.
I'm glad they're finally giving him some FaceTime.
Yep. It just looks terrific, and it's my favorite Captain America, World War II Captain America. So,
and the costume.
And it's the
and
it's
stitching.
I'm so down for this.
So when the trailer started, I thought it was like a CGI animated movie trailer, like for a movie coming out.
Well, you
it
see looks, Skydance, it, you're like, okay.
Yeah, it looks that good, too. Yeah. I'm watching it, and then it's going, and I think it's in the trailer somewhere it says, you know, from Amy Hennig, who has been with Naughty Dog before she left. She worked on all the Uncharted stuff and, you know, fantastic creativity. And so I'm very excited for this.
I only have one complaint, and it's that every time something this spectacular comes out from Unreal Engine, I get messages from people saying, when is Robert Space Industries going to come to their senses and render Star Citizen in Unreal Engine? There's not a computer on this planet that can handle a game at that magnitude with Unreal Engine running it.
It would have to be so highly modified that you'd end up with basically their own custom engine, just like they've done already with the Crytek engine. Mm-hmm. Or I guess they moved to the Amazon Lumber engine and then heavily modified that. But
both.
Yeah, but, super.
The good casting in this is Kerry Payton as Azuri, the grandfather of T'Challa.
Oh, dancing around in your red, white, and blue underwear. What a great
exactly.
line.
Great. Yeah. Go watch the trailer.
It's amazing.
Stay with us to the after party, and we're going to watch all these. So there
my only complaint about the trailer is I wish we could have seen some gameplay. I love a good cinematic trailer, but I want to see how the game plays, too.
I mean, it's not coming out until 2025, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of time.
There is an Ultimate Old Man Edition that actually comes with a teenager that plays the game so you can watch.
Oh, hey, good.
It's expensive.
Yeah. I'll be getting that one.
Yeah.
It's expensive, but it might be worth it for a few of you out there.
You actually have to sign up for a foreign exchange student program, but you get the game for free.
Oh, good. I'm excited about this. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's get to some other news then. Just a couple of stories. You're familiar with Macross, aren't you, Lee?
Yep.
Well...
This story is shit.
Is it?
I have no idea what's going on with this.
I thought you'd be excited about this.
Nope. I just looked up Macross Disney.
Why. I'll tell you why.
Okay, well.
Do your story.
All right.
Shitty story, Carrie.
Disney Plus will become the streaming home of Macross, marking the first time several of the 18 series in Macross franchise will be officially available to stream outside of Japan. So it's a big deal. Macross then becomes Robotech. Is that how it works?
That's where it gets shitty.
Because
Disney doesn't have Robotech, so
No, it's more shitty than that.
Well, here's the list of the stuff that'll be available on Disney Plus. The Super Dimension Fortress Macross Flashback 2012. Super Dimension Fortress Macross 2 Lovers Again. Macross Plus Movie Edition. Macross 7. Macross 7 the Movie.
That's Macross, one where they have guitars.
Yeah, Macross Dynamite 7, Macross Zero, Macross Frontier, Frontier the False Songstress, Frontier the Wings Farewell, Gekijo Tenpen Macross, Frontier Toki.
Good attempt.
Thank you.
What are we even talking about anymore?
Macross FB7, Macross Delta, Macross Delta the Movie, and Macross Delta the... both Macross Delta the Movies, Passionate Volcry and Absolute Live. You won't be getting Do You Remember Love?
Yeah.
That's one that will not be here.
I heard that one was stinky anyway.
No, it was good.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I have no idea.
But anyway, it starts at some point this year on Disney Plus. So
the whole ugly story.
Yeah, why are you upset?
Because the actual series that was adapted from Macross to Robotech isn't part of it.
It's not.
No. And the movie that's actually got some of the most mind-boggling animation you saw in the 80s period, Do You Remember Love, not part of it, because they couldn't negotiate with Harmony Gold in the U.S. to make it work. This story is so convoluted and stupid and filled with fuckery of the highest degree, it pisses me off. So Macross Zero was cool because it gets the story of Roy Fokker, who was like a major character in the original Macross series. He's a test pilot, and Macross Zero is the story of after the SDF-1 crashes on Macross Island and when they start developing the transformable jet technology. So that's cool stuff. I'm glad we're finally able to see Macross Zero because it's really good cel-shaded animation from the early 2000s. But the Macross stuff from like 1981, 1982, that was produced in Japan, when Harmony Gold got the rights to it, a whole bunch of other companies came in and took the rights to the same ships. And so there's this huge trademark fiasco. The original Jetfire from Transformers was the Veritech fighter from Robotech. The original model kit for Psykill from GoBots was the transformable Cyclone motorcycle from Robotech. All this stuff was just like, they just took it and manufactured it and slapped American intellectual property on it. So Harmony Gold sued all of these companies. Tatsunoko Industries in Japan got pissed off and said, you can't, we gave these, we sold these, we did this, we did whatever else. And so what ended up happening is Harmony Gold blocked distribution of anything Macross related to the U.S. until like 3 years ago.
Ah, well, there you go.
This is literally like almost a 40-year embargo. It's kept sequels to Robotech from being made because Tatsunoko owns the rights to all these characters and won't produce animation for Harmony Gold. So it's like, so yeah, the one series that started it all, Harmony Gold still won't take their paws off of because they want to own it in the U.S. Disney owning it means we would get more content.
Yeah.
But well, Harmony Gold.
Maybe they'll buy it, you know.
Yeah, they should.
Let's see. Video game Ark Survival Evolved.
What? Why? It is,
well, this is what you're getting is Ark the Animated Series.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Why?
Which is on Netflix now, as a matter of fact. It says on the 21st it's there. The voice cast includes Michelle Yeoh, Vin Diesel. The cast also has, Russell Crowe, Gerard Butler, David Tennant, Jeffrey Wright, Elliot Page. It's on Netflix right now. So,
how do they get a cast like that? Do they just throw a bunch of money around? Like, that's wild.
I guess. Huh. And now, final two stories. This next one, I think it's kind of shitty that this guy did this. Alex Proyas, the director of the original Crow movie.
Yeah.
That's the wrong Crow.
Well, that's fine. We're talking about this one.
It's
a Crow. Thank you. He released a statement about the new Crow movie. This is the guy who made the Brandon Lee one, okay? I really don't get any joy from seeing negativity about any fellow filmmaker's work, and I'm certain the cast and crew really all had good intentions, as we all do on any film, so it pains me to say any more on this topic, but I think the fans' response speaks volumes. Now, he's talking about the backlash to this Crow trailer that was released last week. The fans are just not having it. A lot of dislikes. He says, The Crow is not just a movie. Brandon Lee died making it and was finished as a testament to his lost brilliance and tragic loss. It is his legacy. That's how it should remain. I think it's kind of shitty of him to do that before it opens.
Yeah?
It's kind of shitty for him to do that, period. And I was having a conversation with somebody about this last night, and we were talking about, he was asking, how did I feel about this? And I'm like, The Crow, and I think that you guys mentioned this last week, The Crow is a movie that came out at a certain time that was just right for, honestly, like, goth kids to have a superhero. Mm-hmm. Didn't speak to me, but I enjoyed it as an action movie for what it was. This movie is not for them. This is for your kids.
This is for the goth kids now. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, not even the goth kids, just the outsider kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, enjoy what you had, be happy with it. Sit down, shut up, have a Coke and a smile, move on.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think he had his first old man comment. You reach a certain age, and all of a sudden you hear words coming out of your mouth. You go, oh.
Did I say that?
Ooh. Sorry, I have to regress back to Macross real quick.
Oh, yes?
This is the single most valuable thing in my collection.
Hold on. Ooh. Let me bring you up here as a solo layout. Yeah.
This book was given to me by a comic book illustrator I cannot mention by name, but I may or may not have beat the shit out of him in a parking lot one night.
I know who it is.
Yeah. He may or may
I have
not
so many
have
questions.
He may or may not have given this to me as recompense for his actions that caused him to get the beating of a lifetime. But
this, thank you for whipping my ass. Please have this.
Pretty much.
Please
don't beat my ass again. Yeah. But this book is literally frame by frame of Macross.
Oh, man.
Remember Love. And
that's pretty.
It's worth a lot of money. I can't believe I'm doing this. This book is like 40 years old, but I'm going to go ahead and open it.
Don't
careful with the poster.
Yeah, don't defile it.
If you want schematics.
Oh my goodness.
Wow, look at that. Nice.
All the gears. It's all there.
Thank you, so, Oak Ash Jones. All right.
Yeah.
And so finally this story. We've been warned that the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie, the sequel, we've been warned it's going to be a musical. They're not kidding. It's being referred to as a jukebox musical. Variety cites sources as revealing Joker 2 will be mostly a jukebox musical with at least 15 covers of very well-known songs.
Come on, Creed, higher. Come on, Creed, higher.
Now you're gonna get a remake of Poker Face done as Joker Face.
That's a missed opportunity. If it's not there, it's, you know.
And at least four versions of Happy Birthday. Sorry, I'm going back to the Saturday Night Live Moulin Rouge a couple weeks back.
But anyway, one of the songs that is leaked out is it's from a 1953 musical called The Bandwagon, and it's That's Entertainment.
Rebecca has things to say about this.
She is
Rebecca,
not
you know, you could say those
top
on the show, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but that's Judy Garland singing "That's Entertainment." But
that's entertainment.
Now, one of the lyrics is "A clown with his pants falling down." That's one of the lyrics for that.
Should I watch the first Joker?
I'd say it's definitely worth one watch.
One watch. Mm. One watch.
Yep. I would say that.
One watch.
I hated the fan base from day one, so
that's why it's definitely worth one watch.
Yeah, just put the fan base aside and watch it.
Much like Star Wars.
We're in a weird time where we're literally transitioning from love the art, hate the artist in some cases, or don't judge an art by the artist, to don't judge the art by the fan base.
By the fan base, yeah.
It's like, there's a reason why I can't watch Rick and Morty. Well, and that, it's yucky.
Just...
It's been so good this season.
Push that fan base away and come to my fan base of Rick and Morty.
Come watch it in your house.
Come watch it with me. Look,
yes,
I'm wearing a Rick
and Morty
shirt.
It's been so good this season. Anyway,
the portal gun.
Speaking of which, what have you consumed this week? Let's go.
I want to go first.
All right. Lee George.
I'm
going
to be assertive. I'm going to be assertive, damn it.
Let's get the pictures out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. I got it. There we go.
Continuing to watch Dick Turpin. They completely made it a misadventure or history or whatever the hell the name of the damn thing is.
That's the problem with the show.
Right. Well, no one's going to watch it, and I don't think it'll see a second season. And I realize what it is that it reminds me of. It's not a Monty Python thing. It's the spiritual successor to if Our Flag Means Death and Blackadder had a baby. Now, I love Blackadder almost as much as I love my wife.
Wow.
So, Blackadder was an amazing series. Especially being that his sidekick always called him Bladder, because that's a easy way to take the words Black Adder and put them together. So he's like, "I have a new plan, Bladder," and I'd laugh. Anyway, finally started watching For All Mankind.
Oh, that's another one I'm trying to get Carrie to watch.
We started it, and then life got in the way. Yeah.
It's so It's one of the best things to come out on TV in the last decade, if you ask me.
Literally, it's Ronald D. Moore, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I mean,
and the magic of it is the alternate timeline is not very jarring.
Yeah,
but it's like a butterfly effect. The farther it goes from the one incident that splits the timeline, the weirder stuff gets.
Yes.
It's things like Robert Kennedy not going to Chappaquiddick.
Mm.
It's things like It's things like Nixon deciding he wants a blonde on the moon because the Russians got a woman on the moon first. Uh-huh. And the whole thing, Nichelle Nichols getting all that fan mail from women saying, I'm going into sciences because of you, in like 73, 74, when Star Trek went into syndication. That all happens in 70 because of Nixon's women. And so it's like all of these little pile-on things that are going and going and going. And it is so smart. I feel smart when I watch this show.
Yeah.
And well, then I feel smarter when I look up all the articles that explain the things that I didn't get.
And my favorite, one of my favorite things about that show, because I'm such a tech nerd, is since the space race never ended, technology is pushed forward faster.
Exponentially faster.
Than like it they was find, in our yeah, timeline.
They find ice on the moon in 1970 because they're trying to find a military base.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and okay. so they establish, early.
They establish a moon base in the 80s. And you get things like, small things like in the 90s, you have nice flat panel monitors, which didn't exist in our timeline because there was no need to make computer monitors smaller. Because why would you make it smaller? Because you want to put it up in space. And so that, just like during the real space race, that technology trickles down to the consumer devices.
It's and such a smart show.
There's a scene in, I think it's in the early 90s, where one of the...
I haven't left the 70s yet, Tony, so shut your whore mouth.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
So I do have a question, though. How far into the 90s or 2000s does the series get by the time you are, Tony?
So I just finished the last season. I think it's season 4, and we're at 2002, I think.
So in 99, was there an accident with some nuclear waste? Did the moon blow up and send Moonbase Alpha off into space?
Nope, sorry.
Damn it.
Nope. That was just for me, wasn't it, Rob?
It was. I watched a little movie called The Holdovers.
So good.
I only cried twice. Damn it. And she deserved that Academy Award.
Yes, she did.
Because she made me cry. But I cry all the time now, so it's not not that special. Delicious in Dungeon, the last two episodes to air. Now I know how to make a pizza oven out of a red dragon's stomach.
That's so, knowledge everyone will need.
We finished our watch through of the Vampire Lestat season 1, as established earlier. Mm-hmm. And a special little thing happened this week that made my heart grow 3 times its size. X-Men 97 yes, hit sir. On Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. And thank you Jesus. Thank you all of the gods. Thank you all of the not gods. Thank you all the chaos entities. Thank you everything that came to fruition to make this incredibly smart,
so good,
incredibly woke X-Men series come out. And it's more woke than the other one was.
It's the same as the 90s one, which was the same as the 70s stuff that it was based on.
But Roberto DaCosta talking about his secret that he can't share with his family, and my kids on the couch sobbing because this is the best X-Men they've ever seen. And this kid's seen all the X-Men and loves it because X-Men works for you when you're a gay kid trying to live in this society right now.
Yeah.
It is so good. The animation is phenomenal. It's Studio Mirror. They did Legend of Korra. They did the DOTA series. They they did the My Adventures with Superman that just came out last year.
Another great.
And, you're getting another season of that, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm so happy, as that was a damn good series. But there's stuff that they did. I'm fairly sure they motion captured Jubilee when she's in a dance club because and it's so good because like she's using her powers in the club and everybody's so happy. It's so good. It is a love letter to X-Men, and it's the best X-Men I've ever seen. It's so good. Wow. Magneto has a speech at the UN that was like giving me shivers because it's so threateningly optimistic.
Yeah.
It's like I will let you stupid monkeys live on my planet for a while longer, but cross me again.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So
it's it was something.
Thank you, Disney.
All right.
So
I'll follow that up because
I'll
start with X-Men 97 because sweet mama, that was amazing. So and I have been a 40 plus year Cyclops fan. Nobody's like, Cyclops,
my God.
Blah, blah, blah. So come in real close.
Well, I was going to say,
I have never seen that happen with Cyclops ever.
It was cool.
So the scene where he goes in to save Bobby and he comes in blowing a hole in the wall. You're just like, okay, Scott's stepping up. And then he's like, hold on. And you're like, what are we getting into here? The man is using his concussion beams to move himself around the floor. And I'm just like, finally, we're I've getting never, this.
So did they do that in the comics? Because they haven't?
No.
Okay. Never seen it. Because that was always a question I had. I was like, if these are so powerful, how come he never tips over when he turns on?
He's got a very strong neck.
Super strong neck.
He's literally bunny hopping before he blasts.
Yeah.
So,
it's awesome.
Yeah. And you're just watching him do this. And you're watching his fighting style. It's like everybody talks about this guy being the world's best soldier. I'm like, okay, that's great. This kid's been doing this since he's been 15, and he's been practicing every day to be the best leader he can.
The amount of Cyclops love I saw on social media this
week. Because they got him right, finally.
Blew me away, because he's usually the one that, there we go, Rebecca Frost, finally good to be a Cyclops fan. He's always been kicked around by the fans.
Because everybody's like, he's the professor's whipping boy, or the apple polisher.
I always played Cyclops in the X-Men video game. I always played Cyclops because he was the most powerful,
He has the other bit when the Sentinels rip the roof off the Blackbird.
That's awesome.
The best
and he
superhero
gets this
landing.
Shit-eating grin on his face. And it's like, I'll see you on the ground. And I'm like, what's going to happen? Okay, and then there's a bit with Storm where, so my wife and I, when we met in 93, we used to play the X-Men game, and I always played Cyclops, and she always played Storm. And her thing was, her best friend in junior high school when that game came out, he'd always say, bring him the weather report. So when that happened on the show, she lost her damn mind.
Everything about this cartoon has been solid. And for the people who were upset with what happened to Storm in the second episode, pick up, and I forgot to turn on my computer by the computer and find out the issues. But there are two arcs in the X-Men comics called Life Death. Look those up.
That's what they're doing then.
And that's what they're doing. It's definitely an adaptation. But when they lined up, when everything was lining up to happen, I'm just like, I know what's about to happen here. And when they did it and how they did it, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a good time to be an X-Men fan, and definitely a good time to be a Cyclops fan.
Yeah. The first time she lost her powers was issue 185 in the Morlock Tunnels.
No.
And then there was the life death. She did lose her weather powers when she became the leader of the Morlocks.
Yeah, they did.
She didn't use them there, but she still had them at that point. She didn't lose them until she got shot with the gun in Mississippi Chasing Rogue.
Oh.
And I can't. And it's right around that time.
Okay.
So there was that. Still watching more of Avatar: The Last Airbender, the live action series on Netflix.
Yeah.
Still loving it.
I finished that this week. It's got a great ending. I mean, it's
awesome.
It's perfect adaptation, if you ask me, or pretty close.
Did not get to any comics this week. Still reading How Long to Black Future History Month, but I should finish that this weekend. But I did get to a movie this week.
Oh, good.
I saw The American Society for Magical Negroes.
Oh, is it cool?
Now, loved this movie. I will warn you, a lot of people are like, not sure what is it? It is dramatic comedy, I guess would be a good way of putting it. It is very much social commentary. And I'm watching this movie because they quite frankly spill a bunch of tea. So if you go to see this movie and you do not look like me, listen carefully. Pay attention.
All right.
Because I came out of the movie ended, the credits are rolling. There's a guy in the row behind me who's like, I paid $12 for that shit. And I'm just kind of like, I'm the only black person in this theater. I need to just leave right now. Because otherwise it is not going to be pretty.
Mm.
I'm going to say something that's going to get my ass whooped, and then Lee's going to have to come and beat somebody down, and it just won't be good.
Those days are so far behind me.
But
you can call me and have 1990 Lee.
I'll just look at the time bubble and go back. And Rebecca, yes, I would say it's a black comedy.
So your words of advice were the same words given to me when I watched Sorry to Bother You.
Yes.
Just listen.
Listen, and that's the thing. Have some empathy and understand not everybody has your story.
Yeah.
But this tells the story of a lot of people and the way that they feel. And I've been a fan of Justice Smith since The Get Down on Netflix. And if you haven't watched The Get Down, give that a shot. It's
so good.
6 episodes in the first season, I think 6 in the second season. But it's like the beginnings of hip hop in the Bronx in the 70s. And great show. So, but I've loved him since then. He has a soliloquy in the last third of this movie, and you're just kind of like, he's going there, and he's telling this guy what it means, what it's like to be black or a minority in this country, and what everybody has to do just to survive.
Yep.
And it's just like, and to have that guy make that comment after the fact, I'm just like,
he wasn't
this movie
listening.
Was something you should have paid attention to.
He wasn't apparently. Listening.
He yeah. was not. So, yeah.
All right. I didn't get much consumed. Oh, Tony, yes, go.
I got a short list today. Okay. Like I said, I finished the Avatar live action first season. Very good. I thought they did a fantastic job adapting that. We've already talked about X-Men 97 enough, and I just will pile on and say, fantastic.
Have you heard,
no notes.
Have you heard that you know? These are considered the two weakest episodes by people who've seen the first
what?
Five?
What? Oh, I can't even. I'm so excited. Mm. I mean, I even skipped my rewatch to watch these because I'm only in the third season of the old original animated series, and the buzz got so big the first half of the day that it was out, I was like, I can't wait. And I just yeah. dove in. And then last but not least, the physical 100 is back, baby.
Is it back?
Yep.
The girls are watching it now.
The physical 100 is back on Netflix for season 2, and it is still wild. I don't know how they got people to sign up for this season after how terrible the filming was, apparently, of the first season, but I'm here for it.
Let's just say three words. Human rights violations.
Indeed.
I will respond with, how many words is this going to be? Three other words? 300 million won. Is that four words? That's what the prize
it's
is.
It's hyphenated. 300 million would be hyphenated.
Okay, there we go.
That's $27.50.
I have no idea what that is in U.S. dollars, but it's a big number.
Remember the first season, the guy standing there with a freaking boulder on his shoulder for, what, 200 hours?
It was a long time.
It was a long time.
Entire first, second, and third season of Lost.
Yeah,
that's how long you had to carry.
But yeah, so we started that the first episode, finished that last night, and it was, I mean, it's the physical 100, baby.
All right, they'll have to pick it up. That's something that Sue and I watched together.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to recommend a little show. This is how I've been consuming this show. It's After Midnight, hosted by Taylor
Love
Tomlinson.
It. Yes.
I've just been getting it on my DVR and looking at the comedians, and if it's somebody that I'm interested in, then I'll watch that episode. You don't have to, because it's on every night, and it's an hour. But very funny stuff. You know, if you want something light that'll make you laugh, that you don't have to really concentrate on, it's there for you. Taylor Tomlinson, of course, is wonderful. And, you know, if I see a Paul F. Tompkins there, I'm gonna hop in. I'm going to watch that episode, you know. And just terrifically funny stuff. And final word on X-Men 97. I say this, I've said it about my radio show, and I'm saying it about X-Men 97. It's always been woke.
Yeah, for real. Come on, people.
If you are complaining that it's woke, it's not the X-Men that have changed.
You just grew up enough to know what's going on.
It's you. You have changed. If you think it's woke and that's bad, you have changed. All right? You haven't learned a goddamn thing. All right? That's all I have to say about that.
That's right. Watch X-Men 97 and then go to see American Society of Magical Negroes.
Yes. All right.
Double bill.
Games. Do we have any games? I don't know if any came out this week, did they?
Oh, games. We have a few.
I like how the games segment always comes to Tony like it's a surprise.
I know, right?
It's always a surprise, you know? Surprise.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I wouldn't remember to do it at all.
We got, hey, if you like the South Parks, we got the new South Park game is coming out finally. It's been teased for like 18 months or so. South Park Snow Day coming out on all the systems, all the modern systems. Mm-hmm. We have something called Planet Zoo Console Edition. I don't know. if you love the Grandia JRPGs, Grandia HD Collection coming on PS4 and Xbox One. And probably other stuff. I don't know why they only have it listed there, but that's what I see. Yeah, that's about it.
All right. And then Rebecca has a quick review. She'll give us a full review next week, but a quick review of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. She says, I saw it this week. In a surprising twist, Afterlife is better.
Mm.
Mm. Mm.
Ghostbusters is another franchise I will not engage with people on.
Mm. All right.
I've liked two.
Well, you know the funniest one? The funniest one is the all-girl one.
Oh, yeah. Heresy, Carrie. How dare you say that?
It has more laughs per minute than any of the first two.
It's got Chris Hemsworth being a weirdo, which I'm always on board for, as we have established.
All right. Yep.
Okay. Thank you all for being here. We're going to head to the after party now to watch those trailers. So join us over there, geekshowgotthiscovered.com. If you want to join us, we're going to watch and I'm excited.
Cry and share.
I'm excited to watch these again.
Oh, man.
All right. Live long and prosper, bitches.
Bye.